Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. The gravity of today's global environmental threats to life on Earth is no longer in question. For decades, our guest Paul Hawken has been at the forefront of the visionaries who have awakened us to the devastating consequences of our collective and individual actions. That's not changed, Mr. Hawken says in his book, Blessed Unrest. What has changed, he says, is there is now good news. It's just not being reported. People around the world are coming together in millions of organizations. They are people intent on changing humanity's ways before it's too late. Paul Hawken knows that achieving sustainability will require changes, big ones. To survive, he says, will take a fundamental transformation. Where do we begin? Mr. Hawken puts into play James Carse's powerful idea of finite and infinite games.
Finite games we're very familiar with are called Wall Street and politics and the NBA and any game where there's a definitive winner and loser. But infinite games are played differently because the rules of infinite games are that you do whatever it takes to keep the game going. So the rules actually change according to the conditions, but the goal is always constant, which is the game shall never end. And what I'm saying is that this whole word and this whole concept of sustainability is the infinite game. So really what you can see sustainability as a organized response to finiteness, to try to change the systems, whether they be economic or governmental, educational, religious, or otherwise, into infinite games. So it's not to stop something so much as it is to change the nature of the process. I mean, basically, this is suicide intervention.
Paul Hawken is an environmentalist, entrepreneur, journalist, and author. His lifelong commitment to justice and his pioneering entrepreneurial ventures have inspired individuals and businesses everywhere. Mr. Hawken's books, Natural Capitalism, The Ecology of Commerce, and Growing a Business are international classics. In Blessed Unrest, he celebrates the unreported emergence of what he calls a worldwide movement without a name. It is communities and individuals successfully prevailing in the face of special privilege and wholesale environmental destruction. Bill Russell and I have tried repeatedly to bring you Paul Hawken, so it was a celebration for us when finally we could begin this conversation. Paul Hawken, I find that the birth metaphor means a lot to me, and I use it fairly often. So when I found you talking about the quickening of a movement, I thought, oh, we're doing biology here. We're doing ideas that are alive. We are doing things that are putting ideas to work. There's action in this. This birthing metaphor seems to be quite central to what you're talking about. Am I right?
You are right in more than one way. The book is about a movement that has no name. And therefore, because it's made of people, it is called a social movement that is made of people in society. When you look at the language of social movements that have preceded this, it is actually somewhat dry. And even if it wasn't dry, it doesn't adequately describe this movement, this unnamed movement. So I definitely had to reach for biological and metaphors in order to find the language that approximated what I was observing and what I experienced and what I wanted to write about.
You've been out in the big world for years doing this work, telling us what we need to know, both good news and bad news. And you've had a profound impact with other books. And this feels like a leap. This feels like something exponentially bigger that you're telling me about. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
People say that. I feel that it was always there, but I do feel that something shifted. I remember writing to W.S. Merwin, who's a friend, and I said, someday I want to be a real writer. And he wrote back this beautiful letter, and he said, the subject makes all the difference.
Indeed.
And I feel that with this subject, it really does make all the difference, because it's vast. It's historical, it's current, extraordinarily salient in terms of who we are today, who we will become and what will become of our children's children's children. And therefore, it had this richness with which to write within. And therefore, it opened up language, it opened up different writers' characters and historical figures from the past all began to be part of this pageant, this drama of today, right now, this moment, that is being played out across the world.
One of the things that jumped out at me is a notion that I guess I first came across with Robert Kuttner, which is the notion of economic fundamentalism, market fundamentalism. In this country, the United States, and at this time, in some ways that seems to be the ascendant ideology. And in some ways, as you write about this, it seems to be, as much as anything, the challenge, the obstacle, to caricature it, the bad guy, the black hat, in what we as a species are facing. And part of the attribute, of course, is it's fundamentalism, and any fundamentalism has some very negative attributes. This particular variation has the, from its standpoint, the benefit of generating wealth that allows it to behave in the ways that wealth allows one to behave. And as much as anything, it seems that the great challenge in what you're writing about and what you're talking about and what this movement, as you characterize it, is facing, is to deal with the brute force of this fundamentalist market fundamentalism and somehow generate counterforce to that.
Well, it's very well said, in the if there's a meta ideology in the world today, it is fundamentalism. And it is important, I think, to notice how many ways it's expressed. And we are more familiar with religious fundamentalism, regardless of the religion and the horrors that follow thereon. But I think it is less known and we are less aware of economic fundamentalism or market fundamentalism or free market fundamentalism, whatever you want to call it. And all fundamentalisms share a common attribute, and that is that a few people think they understand what is best for a lot of people. And whether that's sincere or disingenuous is beside the point, because they take it upon themselves to make life better for the rest of us, despite what we say, do, or protest. And it's interesting to me that the World Bank is one of those expressions of free market fundamentalism. And I would say that we have encountered in our work at least 2,000 or 3,000 organizations who fundamentally correct the damage and the suffering that is caused by the IMF and the World Bank and the WTO.
We are with Paul Hawken. He has pulled together many big ideas in Blessed Unrest, and we will ask him to pull some more of those both out of his prodigious hat and together for us when we return. Please do be with us.